And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I know that you watched Trump give his White House speech in the middle of last week, in which basically he indicated that if this was a parliamentary system, Trump would cause the American people to be dissolved because he had lost confidence in them. They don't believe what he's saying. He says they're living in the best economy that ever existed on the face of the earth, and most Americans think that they're facing parlous future economically. And he yelled at us to stop thinking like that. It was unbecoming of us. Right? You listen to that, right?
I tried to. It was hard to listen to. The word that came to mind very quickly in terms of his presentation, his style. And remember, there's what he says, and that's what people not just hear, which is important, but what they see, you know, the nonverbal. And you always go back sometimes and rewind it and watch it without the on mute, okay? Mm-hmm. But even unmuted, the word that came to mind was unhinged. Mm-hmm. He was running through the whole the whole list of his so-called accomplishments, patting himself on the back, and attacking his enemies, attacking Joe Biden, blaming everything everywhere else but on himself and his policies or his whatever. But it really wasn't in isolation. I mean, in one respect, because his approval ratings have been falling, is he was trying to shore that up. And in order to do that, he was giving talking points to those who were left as his supporters. When anybody would criticize him, they could point to what he said in this speech as one of his talking points. But I think we have to look a little bit larger as to where that speech fit in. Because there were other things that were there this week. I'm talking about the renaming of the Kennedy Center, which he claimed he knew nothing about, but on one day's notice could get the sign changed. And this unveiling of this White House Hall of Fame.
Well, he claims he knows nothing about how the government operates. He knows no details about what goes on. That's his standard, which, you know, could make sense because you can't spend your time doing something else like tweeting and also pay attention to the administering the government.
Well, that raises a question then, who is running the government?
Not the president. Not the president. Yeah. He's not. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. But, when the Democrats and the pundits talk about this, I think they have to talk about it in a whole, about his mental state. And it's really not good. He played defense about that. He said, I've passed these mental tests that no one else has even taken, named three animals, like a cat, elephant, and giraffe or something, or pick the giraffe out of the pictures, small stuff. But his personality or his personality defects are becoming worse and worse and worse and worse. His need for affirmation, his need for adulation is becoming greater at every turn. We're waiting for the statues to go up. He's had his visage put on buildings. He's had it, remember before this, the one thing that he did in terms of business was he rented out his name.
That was his business. Everything else he tried, he failed at.
Right. That was what he was doing, was branding.
Yeah.
And to seeing the name Trump all over the place, Trump on the Trump casinos. I can remember my family taking a trip to Chicago, and we took the Chicago River tour out onto Lake Michigan, which I recommend highly for people if they go to Chicago. And you go by the Trump building there, you know, and it's got his name big on it, and it's always in gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing, the glitter or the glitz, something that on the surface is looks impressive, but don't look too far underneath what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And it's in his style with the like they said, the North Korean style of cabinet meetings, where everybody has to, instead of reporting on what they're doing in their departments, they have to spend 10 minutes praising Donald Trump. Everything in my department would be a wreck except for Donald Trump type mm-hmm. of stuff.
I'm not sure that North Korea is run that way. I think that if Kim Jong-un was running North Korea that way, he'd have failed. I think that they're much smarter than Donald Trump and Donald Trump's cabinet. They've to stay in power, they've got to be smarter. He can coast. He's got a rich country behind him. He's just incompetent. And the people working for him are incompetent, and they have a big surplus behind them. When you have a lot of money behind you, you can make a lot of mistakes.
Well, we're borrowing all that money.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying people shouldn't feel that because there are other people who do it, therefore it's not that bad. It's awful. It's awful.
Well, and the other part is, of course, he's taking no accountability for himself. He's blaming everything else or creating false impressions about what it was without him. Right. Everything's on Biden. You know, he put this Hall of Fame together and on Biden and on Clinton and on Obama, he had Truth Social posts embedded in these plaques that he put underneath it. He wouldn't even put Biden's picture up. Instead of Biden, he put this auto pen up there.
Right.
Biden
beat him, as you made the point.
Yes.
Biden's the only cop guy who's really beaten him in his political career.
Right. Right. All the Republicans that ran against him failed.
Right.
And Hillary failed, although she probably won that election. In terms of the popular vote, she won the election.
Right.
But the fact is that it's juvenile. His immaturity, keeps coming out. His lack of really self-esteem is there, and everybody has personality faults, but when they're as toxic as his, and when he's running things of this government, or not running it, but at least hiring the incompetents to run it, that's where we're going. The damage that's being created, and that he's trying to really cover up, because he sees it. And in less than a year, we have the unemployment rate rising. We have the national debt ballooning. We have his popularity, his disapproval rating rising constantly. No one will, tell the emperor he has no clothes. At some point, everything's going to come crashing down. We can't, can't be sustained on this. That's why he keeps changing the topics. Divert your attention, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain type of stuff. So we get all these crazy petty things or something else. Maybe that aren't so crazy, but we'll take up a day's worth of discourse in the media. You know, okay, we'll change what marijuana is from a Schedule One to a Schedule Three. We'll do something else the next day. It's just throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks. It's the flood, you know. It's the Bannon flood, what have you.
But there's one thing you have to agree with him. He says he inherited a mess. Now, he falsely says Biden caused the mess. Biden also inherited that mess. He says, well, he fixed it. He's fixed the mess. But what's the nature of the mess? The nature of the mess has to do with the difference between the rise in productivity and the rise in the income of the average American worker. Productivity is how much the average American worker produces in a given hour, or the average any country's worker produces in a given hour. That's the rise in the national wealth, right? Productivity increases, the wealth increases. In 1 hour, you're producing more now than in 1 hour you produced a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. Well, there is a crisis. There's no question that there's a crisis in American structural capitalism. Between 1948 and 1979, productivity grew by 108%. Median workers' compensation grew in the same period by 93%. So in other words, a large part of that increase in wealth went to the people who created the wealth, the workers.
90% of it.
Well, 90. Well, the
93 over 108 is roughly 90%.
Okay. In the years between 1979 and 2025, productivity grew 87%, but compensation grew by 33%. That's the structural problem. That's why people say, I can't make ends meet. That's why I have a pessimistic outlook. That's why I can't figure out where I'm going to get a job. That's why, what's the point of going to college? There's no work available. That's the structural problem. The president didn't create that problem. The system created that problem, and that's the system we're living in. And neither Biden nor Trump could affect it or did affect it. That's the way it is. It's not a partisan issue. It's a structural problem of the system that has to be addressed. That's why the question of affordability, which the Democrats used in Virginia and Florida, in Jersey and in New York City, which Mamdani used with such great effectiveness, that's why it's right up there as the key thing, because the system is doing fine, but the people who work the system are not. They're not getting the benefit of the system doing fine. Profits are high. The stock market is great, which is what Trump points to. That's fantastic. But the disparity in who gets the growth and the wealth is growing. That's the problem.
And it occurred right about the time that Ronald Reagan became the president.
That's right.
And we had this great reduction in taxes for the wealthy.
Yeah.
Which Trump had, which George Bush continued, and which Trump has done twice now.
And all of that is because also of the fantastic restriction in the union movement, and the fact that in the private sector, the unions really don't exist. So that there is no social force that can prevent, and that does prevent, the diversion of the growth and productivity to the 1%, and instead of to the, you know,
the
80% of the people who exist who actually produce that wealth. Yeah.
Right. Right, all of the gains and all the monetary are being sucked. It's a massive transfer of wealth upwards.
Upwards, that's right. So you've got the fascist MAGA saying, "Well, it's the fault of the immigrants. They're stealing it all. If we'll get rid of the immigrants, the housing issue will disappear. There'll be plenty of housing for everybody because they're taking up the housing. The jobs will reappear because they're taking away the jobs." Even though all of that is nonsense. It's phony. It's false. If you expelled all the immigrants, you still wouldn't have enough housing. It's preposterous. Plus which, well, you wouldn't want to move into the housing that they're forced to live in.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a whole combination of factors, but in essence,
but it's all lies. It's all lies.
They figured out how to turn the attention away from them soaking up all the money and dividing the people, the middle and the lower class, from whom the money is being sucked.
And the predicate for it was destroying the social force that stood in the way of that, which was the organized labor movement.
You're right. And they're still trying to do that.
Yeah.
Although Congress...
Well, now they're doing it in the government, because the strength of the labor movement that remains is in the government. So Trump, 2 weeks ago, said, well, he's ending collective bargaining rights for federal workers in all these agencies. Well, I don't know what right he has to do that, but he's doing it. Well, if you'll have no union movement whatsoever anywhere, you'll have a greater disaster, and I don't know who he's going to blame for it, because he's already blamed the immigrants. So who else is left?
Well, the Jews.
The Jews. The Jews.
Yeah. Well, they're always there to be blamed.
Yeah.
You
don't need Jews to blame Jews. You can blame the Jews even if there are no Jews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, they'll be people in space with the space lasers.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, if you remember a few weeks ago, or a couple months now, when we talked about his what he was going to do when he was taking over, when he was sending the National Guard to Washington, D.C., and I said what the mayor of Washington should have done before his speech. And I was thinking of that again this week, that, you know, it was announced his speech, although it wasn't, you know, they didn't give the details of the speech. People pretty well surmised what was going to happen. But it would have been, I think, interesting if the Democrats... Someone got up there and said, we want, you're giving him prime time. We want prime time before he speaks, and give a prequel to that, and give the same speech that I said should have been given to by the mayor of Washington. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the president is about to speak. And let me tell you what he's going to say. He's going to lie. He's going to exaggerate. He's going to take credit for things that he didn't do. He's going to blame people. He's going to lie. He's going to try to divide us. He's going to lie. He's going to try to inject fear into everything. He's going to say things that no one should have any belief in terms of his ability to cure what's wrong with America. And we're going to be fact-checking him. And I'm going to come back immediately after a speech, and we're going to talk about all the lies and the exaggerations and the self-aggrandizement that he did.
But she didn't do any of that, did she?
She didn't do any of that, and the Democrats didn't do any of that this time either.
No. And as a fact, she did just the opposite. She's quit. She's not running for re-election.
Yeah.
And her police chief quit. They've all quit.
Well, a lot of Republicans are quitting, too.
That's true.
If you notice, Congress more and every week more and more.
That's right.
We just saw Elise Stefanik decided to quit her race for governor of New York. Right. You know, in Pennsylvania here, we've had two more Democrats who are elected to the state legislature resign. We're going to have new special elections.
So the legislature is at a standstill again, right?
It'll be at a standstill again because the speaker is still a Democrat, and she's set special elections. They're both in, I believe, safe Democratic districts. But the House is powerless to do anything until they come in and with a full complement of 102 Democrats versus 101 Republicans.
But to get back to what you were talking about, you really should be talking about your congressman.
Yes.
because he is an example of lying to the people. I mean, he's like a walking lie, right?
Oh, yeah. He promised at least two areas. He promised that he wouldn't do anything to cut Medicare or Medicaid and benefits to help the tens of thousands of his constituents, and also that he was opposed to trading stocks by Congress. And of course, he got in there, and they had a little talking to him, and he voted for that big, bad, beautiful, or big, ugly bill, which cut Medicaid and subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. And now
the very thing he said he was against.
Right.
He voted for.
And then he's traded stocks.
The very thing he said he was against, right? Congress people should be forbidden to trade stocks, so he traded stock. And how did he explain it?
Well, he said I could go broke. You know, he's
what should I do with my money if I don't trade stocks?
Yeah, well, he could leave Congress and trade it. You know, trade on your own.
That's right. Exactly right.
You know, and or what the cabinet people are doing. You know, before policies come out. But anyway, so this week, running scared, he and Ryan McKenzie, who's in the Lehigh Valley district, who had a, you know, it's a toss-up district, and Brian Fitzpatrick, who's in a toss-up district down outside of Philadelphia, joined with Mike Lawler from New York, who's in a toss-up district, and who's a moderate of convenience, to join with the Democrats to sign a discharge petition to take a vote on reinstating the benefits that they cut with their previous vote.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Bresnahan also came out and signed on as a co-sponsor of a bill to prevent stock trading by members of Congress. But, of course, that could be cosmetic too, knowing that it's not going anywhere.
Plus, well, she just did it. He just did it.
he just did it. But we don't have 218 votes on that to take a discharge petition.
Right.
His internal polling must be pretty bad. Let's put it to you that way.
On the other hand, where is the Democratic opposition to him? Presumably it's Paige Cognetti, but I haven't heard anything from her at all.
Yeah, she's kind of disappeared. Yeah. Behind the scenes, I've gotten a couple of texts asking for money, but nothing really organized. I don't know if she's down in Washington trying to work with big, you know, get big donors or doing phones or anything. But and she still has a city to run, which they're still doing. There's things that are being passed by council that she's proposed. So we'll see. But you'd expect a much more visible effort on her behalf.
I was disappointed in the fact that she didn't show up at the rally last week, that the Democrats participated in, although they didn't organize, but we had four Democratic congressmen
and heavy hitters,
nationally prominent congressmen who came to Scranton and spoke before several hundred people. We talked about that last week, but she wasn't there.
No, and it was co-sponsored by two of the unions.
Yeah.
She wasn't there.
I don't quite understand that. And even if she wasn't there, she could have sent a message, which she didn't do.
Right.
So it's hard to figure it out. Why is she going to be one, if she gets elected, one of the Democrats, like the 11 Democrats who joined the Republicans this last week voting against the continuation of restrictions on environmental, on changing the environmental rules to allow greater pollution of the water and the air? You know, we had 11 Democrats, Jared Golden, Glusenkamp in Oregon, who voted to weaken all the environmental rules and really wipe out the bedrock of environmental regulation in federal law. And it passed because of those 11 votes. Is she going to be one of those 11 Democrats? Then we don't need her. You might as well stick with Brezhnev.
Who knows?
Who knows? Well, if she doesn't show up and talk, we certainly don't know.
Well, but the fact is that you need a Democratic vote in order to prevent the Republicans from controlling the agenda of the House. What comes up or what's brought to the floor depends on...
But that doesn't... That's true. You're right. But that doesn't give people confidence in the government, doesn't give people any reason to think well of the Democratic Party. It's the barest minimum. And people will say, well, what's the difference? Who controls what comes to the vote if they're going to vote the wrong way anyway?
Yeah, well, we don't know. We don't know what the Democrats are looking for in reform because their autopsy got buried this week by Ken Martin.
Yeah. Why? Well, how can that benefit anybody? Isn't the analysis of mistakes exactly the way the scientific method works? You say, I'll try this. You try it. You either succeed or you fail. If you succeed, you say, well, in what way did I succeed? In which way did I not succeed? If you fail, you say, well, why did this fail? Isn't that how you learn? Mostly you fail, and you learn from examining your failures. Yeah. That's how you learn.
You always learn more from your failures than your successes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've learned that in the courtroom. You know, when you lose a case, what went wrong?
What went wrong? What did I do wrong? Exactly.
Yeah. How do I approach it the next time?
Right. So why is Ken Martin smart to do this? I think he's very stupid to do it. So it'll promote discord within the party. The discord doesn't go away because you deny the analysis or you hide up the analysis. The discord is still there. The only way to solve the problem that the discord is the symptom of is to tackle the discord and figure out why it's there. Well, that's why the Democrats have lost the confidence of the people.
Yeah, they don't show courage of their convictions.
They don't even show intelligence.
They don't even show convictions.
Yeah, that's right.
So so you have that. By the way, we should be reassured that the administration is going to take a hard stand in favor of ending discrimination against white men.
Thank God. I was worried about that.
I mean, the two of us are, you know, we're safe now.
I feel better. So now that you mentioned it, I feel better. That's right.
Yeah, because we don't need DEI. We need more white men to be protected.
That's right. There's too many women in the army. The good news is that the president has warned us, Trump has warned us, that the Democrats will shut down the government in January, even though the Democrats don't have the power to shut down the government. Only the Republicans, only he has the power to keep it open or to shut it down.
Yeah, well, he found out that argument didn't work very well in November.
No, but he already made it for January, which means he will shut it down again in January. All right, let's see if we can get to next week. We're done this week.
We're done this week. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.